سورة الفرقان آية نمبر 45. ألم تر إلى ربك كيف مد الظل ولو شاء لجعله ساكنا ثم جعلنا الشمس عليه دليلا. Have you not considered your Lord, how he extends the shadow, and if he willed, he could have made it stationary? Then we made the sun for it an indication. The sun shows the existence of the shadow by the contrast. Allah says, then we hold it in hand for a brief grasp. Allah holds the sun when it is overhead at noon, briefly. Allahu Akbar. And it is He who has made the night for you as clothing. What does that mean? It covers us, it conceals us, it helps us rest. And the sleep, a means of rest, Allah has created sleep and has made the day a resurrection for renewal of life, for activity. And it is He who sends down the winds as good news before His mercy. What is His mercy? Rainfall. And we send down from the sky pure water. Pure water comes down from the sky. Alhamdulillah. That we may bring to life thereby a dead land and give it as drink to those we created of numerous livestock and men. And we have certainly distributed it among them that they might be reminded. But most of the people refuse except in disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed what? Water. And He does that all the time, constantly, so that people will be nourished and fed, and life will go on. And if we had willed, Allah says, we could have sent into every city a warner, meaning with the same language, culture, skin color, time period, because people who are arrogant are very picky. Allah tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. So do not obey the disbelievers and strive against them. Do jihad against the disbelievers with it. With what? The Quran. What kind of jihad? Jihadan kabira, a great jihad. Jihad means a lot of struggle. But then when you say jihadan kabira, it means an extraordinary amount of struggle. How do we strive against disbelievers with the Quran? First of all, we have to convince ourselves that this is the truth. Allah knows it's the truth. The Prophet ﷺ knew it was the truth. The Sahaba knew it was the truth. But do we know that for sure? When you know something and you are sure of something, it's a conviction inside you that changes your attitude. It changes your self-image. When you know something about yourself, it gives you self-confidence. You have something wonderful, a great talent, for example. You're very comfortable talking about it because you are in your zone. We need to feel the same way about Islam. We need to have a tremendous amount of self-confidence. The Sahaba had a tremendous amount of self-confidence in themselves. They actually looked down upon disbelievers because they felt that disbelievers, because of their unbelief or denial of Islam, were lower than themselves. Not in their eyes, in the eyes of Allah. When someone knows and a person realizes that I am on the right path, it gives them naturally a tremendous amount of self-confidence. It is an honor. The Quran is an honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon some people, not everyone. Remember in the previous ayat, Allah has said that most people are worse than animals because they don't appreciate the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran is an amazing tool. It is the tool for elevating ourselves in this dunya as well as akhirah. Make no mistake about it. The real jihad that people don't want to talk about, that people want you to become distracted by, is the jihad of the Quran. This is why you see people burning copies of the Quran. It is the Quran that they are angry with. It is not the people. People don't have a problem with Muslims. The people did not have a problem with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. It was the message, remember? Allah says in the Quran, it is the message that they deny. So all this hoopla about Islam and fundamentalism and terrorism, all of that, making the general population of Muslims defensive for the crimes of very, very few, that is simply a grand deception. It's a great distraction from the message. They want us to become so defensive, the kuffar, the disbelievers, want Muslims to become so defensive and full of excuses for ourselves that we forget that we have the greatest power in the world. Allah is with us because the Quran is with us. We have successfully fallen into this trap. Subhanallah. We're constantly on the defensive, in the media, on Facebook, elsewhere, defending our religion, coming up with ayat that defend our choices, defend our lifestyle. We have become a nation that wants to hide ourselves and simply blend in and please others. We will never take out the Quran like this. We will never teach people the Quran like this. Start sharing the Quran with others. Help those who share the Quran with others. This is the way we need to do jihad with the Quran, but not just jihad, jihadan kabira. Jihadan kabira requires a tremendous amount of effort, tremendous amount of hard work, sleepless nights, tired bodies, focus, unity, discipline, and wealth. Remember, Allah has said, Jahidu fillahi haqqa jihadihi. Strive in the way of Allah as we ought to strive, as is Allah's right. And how do we do that? What do we use to do the jihad? The Quran. Allah says, do jihad with yourselves and with your money, with your wealth. Both of those have to be put behind the Quran so that we can bring it forward to other people and to save other people from a terrible end. Allah says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي مَرَجَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ هَذَا عَزْبٌ فُرَاتٌ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ. And it is He who has released simultaneously the two seas, two bodies of water, one fresh and sweet and one salty and bitter. Fresh water and sea water. And He placed between them a barrier and prohibiting partition. When rivers flow into the sea, they don't get mixed up. Subhanallah, this is Allah's design. Allah says, and it is He who has created from the water, from semen, a human being and made him a relative by lineage and marriage. Allah has given us families. And ever is your Lord competent concerning creation. This is Allah's design. Marriage, having children, this is Allah's design. Allah says, but they worship rather than Allah that which does not benefit them or harm them. And the disbeliever is ever against his Lord, an assistant to Satan. And we have not sent you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except as a bringer of good news and a warner. Say, I do not ask of you for it any payment, only that whoever wills might take to his Lord away. Allah says in the Quran, who is better in speech than the one who calls to Allah, to his Rabb? So the only goal of any da'i to Islam, any da'i of the Quran, any mujahid of the Quran, is to connect people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the payment. That is the true payment. When someone achieves that, you see someone achieving that through your effort, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you that ability and opportunity and has helped you to bring someone else to Islam, to Allah, then that in and of itself is the gift. Allah says, and rely upon the ever-living who does not die, and exalt Allah with His praise, and sufficient is He to be with the sins of His servants acquainted. He who created the heavens and the earth and what is between them in 6 days, and then established Himself above the throne, the most merciful, so ask about Him one well-informed. Who is well-informed about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it is said to them, prostrate to the most merciful, they say, and what is the most merciful? Because remember, the kuffar did not recognize the name Ar-Rahman, so here was another argument they had. They would say, should we prostrate to that which you order us? And it increases them in aversion. This is another ayah of sajda. So it would increase the kuffar in aversion, but a believer would love to do sajda. So at this moment, one should do sajda. Tabarakallazi, Allah says again, blessed is he who has placed in the sky great stars and placed therein a burning lamp and luminous moon. And it is he who has made the night and the day in succession for whoever desires to remember or desires gratitude. When we see the changing of the night and the day, do we remember Allah? Do we feel gratitude? Allah says, they are there for you every day, all the time. Remember, we cannot have the Quran open with us 24/7. But there are signs around us we look at all the time. They are there for us if we want to remember Allah. So in the morning and evening, make those du'as. Do azkar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember Him and feel grateful. The next few ayat till the end of Surah Al-Furqan are a beautiful description of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see us like. Ibadur Rahman. Ibadur Rahman illazina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. And the servants of the Most Merciful are those who walk upon the earth easily, hawnan, meaning gently, with dignity, but without arrogance. And when the ignorant address them harshly, they say words of peace, qalu salama. They don't get entangled in arguments. And those who spend part of the night to their Lord prostrating and standing in prayer, tahajjud, qiyamul layl. And those who say, our Lord, avert from us the punishment of hell. Indeed, its punishment is ever adhering. People who are truly afraid of hellfire, they are not confident that they will go into Jannah at all. They fear Allah and seek refuge from hell. They say, innaha sa'at mustaqarna wa muqama. Indeed, it is evil as a settlement and residence. And they are those who, when they spend, do so not excessively or sparingly, but are ever between that justly moderate. Lam yusrifu, they do not do israf. What is israf? To spend Allah's money on illegal things. To spend money beyond normal limits. To spend money to show off. And then Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرًا. And those who do not invoke with Allah another deity. Dua, yad'una. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ad-du'a hiya al-ibadah. Dua in and of itself is worship. We are not allowed to make dua to anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot make dua to anyone who has passed away, thinking that he or she will intercede on our behalf with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that was the religion of the kuffar. The pagans of Makkah, their religion was one of intercession. Intercession will be given to us, inshallah, on the day of judgment. In this dunya, there is not a single dua in the Quran, not a single dua in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his proven ahadith, that has words to the effect where you are invoking anyone other than Allah, where you're making dua to anyone other than Allah. There is no dua that says you make dua to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All duas taught by Allah and taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked by the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum jami'a, were directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So Allah says, so Ibadur Rahman are those who do not invoke with Allah another deity, nor kill the soul which Allah has forbidden to be killed except by right, meaning after the due process of law, and do not commit unlawful sexual intercourse, and whoever should do that will meet a penalty. Shirk, murder, adultery. Allah says, multiplied for him is a punishment on the day of resurrection, and he will abide therein humiliated, except for those who repent, believe, and do righteous work. For them Allah will replace their evil deeds with good, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Imagine that. The good deeds are written down in our record, and also the evil deeds. But if a person truly repents to Allah, turns to Allah, is ashamed, and then believes, so believing means that a person reforms themselves. Allah says, then he believes and does righteous work, tries to do good things, good works, Allah says those evil deeds that are written down will be erased, and in place of them, Allah will write down good deeds, good points, points in your favor. Allahu Akbar, how generous is Allah, always ready to forgive. Allah says, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful, always. Allah says, and he who repents and does righteousness does indeed turn to Allah with accepted repentance. So condition is that you feel ashamed, you repent, and then you start doing good things. You start praying salah on time. You start giving zakah. You start fasting. You change your behavior with people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do tasbih. You do istighfar. You give a lot of charity. So that, Allah says, is evidence that this person has turned to Allah and Allah has accepted their repentance. You know, when we ask and wonder whether my deed has been accepted by Allah? Well, this is the clue. Allah tells us, when he gives you the chance to do good after your sins and you become better and closer to Allah, do more good, Allah says that is accepted repentance. Allah has accepted your repentance because he is helping you to do more good deeds. Alhamdulillah. So note that Ibadur Rahman are not perfect people. They're not angels by any stretch of the imagination. They do make mistakes. But the most wonderful, the most beloved thing about them to Allah is that they are humble and immediately recognize their sins and seek repentance from Allah. Allah says, and they are also those, so there's another attribute of these people, and they are those who do not testify to falsehood. They do not lie at all. And they also do not testify to falsehood. What does that mean? They never make a false oath. They never lie under oath, because that is a major sin. And when they see falsehood, they do not appreciate it. They try to put a stop to it. Allah says, and when they pass near ill speech, bil-laghwi, what do they do? Marru kirama. What excellent manners. In the beginning of this list, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, they walk upon earth very softly, and when ill-mannered people, jahil people, address them, you know, argumentative people, rude people address them, they simply say salam and walk away. They never retaliate. Beautiful manners. And now Allah says, when they even hear someone else talking, some evil speech, some useless speech, love also means time wasters. People are simply wasting their time in useless pursuits. What do? They pass by with dignity. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِّرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ, and those who, when reminded of the verses of their Lord, do not fall upon them deaf and blind. How are you deaf? As if I have not even heard them. Nothing has happened, because when you talk to someone who can't hear, they're not going to react because they don't understand. So we don't react, we don't interact with the ayat of the Quran. And blind, they don't see the reality of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, and Ibadur Rahman are those who say, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا, and those who say, our Lord, grant us from our wives, our spouses and offspring comfort to our eyes, a source of happiness, and make us a leader that is example for the righteous. Beautiful dua. Ibadur Rahman are worried about their spouses, about their children, and they know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all happiness and peace. But the main goal, the main thing that they want to see within their families is righteousness. But not just righteousness, they want to become the leaders of the righteous. Elevated position in the eyes of Allah. Allah says those will be awarded the chamber, ghurfa. This is the most elevated portion of paradise. Why? For what they patiently endured. All of this requires a tremendous amount of self-control, tremendous amount of patience. Allah says, and they will be received therein, in that chamber, with greetings and words of peace, wa tahiyyatan wa salama, فيها تحية وسلامة خالدين فيها abiding eternally therein حسنت مستقرا ومقاما. There was a مستقر and مقام, that was hellfire. But Allah says these are the opposite. They have a beautiful مستقرا ومقاما. Good is a settlement, beautiful, best is a settlement and residence. May Allah make us of those, Ameen. And then Allah says, say, what would my Lord care for you if not for your supplication, for your dua? For you disbelievers have denied. So it, your denial, is going to be adherent. Meaning that Allah gives people respite because they continue to call upon Him. But at the end, the disbelievers will face the punishment on the Day of Judgment. Allah asks us a beautiful question. What would Allah do with you if it was not for your dua? Remember, He said dua is ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates for us to ask anyone other than Him. That is because He tells us over and over again that we need to ask Him. Ask my servants, tell my servants, He says, that I am qareeb, I am near. I answer the call of the one who calls. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said over and over again, do not call upon anyone other than me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very specific and clear about that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, Allah gets angry when we don't ask Him, when we do not make dua to Him. Dua is the main connection, the thread, the rope between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that shows our position as a slave and His position as a master. Surat Ash-Shu'ara. Ash-Shu'ara, the poets. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ta-Sin Mim. Tilka Ayatul Kitabil Mubin. Ta-Sin Mim. These are the verses of the clear book. Perhaps, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would kill yourself with grief that they will not be believers. If we willed, we could send down to them from the sky a sign for which their necks would remain humbled. And no mention, revelation comes to them anew from the Most Merciful, except that they turn away from it. For they have already denied, but there will come to them the news of that which they used to ridicule. Did they not look at the earth, how much we have produced therein from every noble kind? Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers. And indeed, your Lord, He is the Exalted in Might, the Merciful. And mention when your Lord called Moses, saying, go to the wrongdoing people, the people of Pharaoh. Will they not fear Allah? He, Musa alayhi salam, said, my Lord, indeed I fear that they will deny me, and that my breast will tighten and my tongue will not be fluent. So send for Aaron, his brother. And they have upon me a claim due to sin, so I fear that they will kill me. One afternoon when Musa alayhi salam was walking in the city, he saw one of the children of Israel, a man from his own people, fighting with an Egyptian. As soon as the Israelite saw Musa alayhi salam, he called him for help. Now Musa alayhi salam, being sympathetic to one of his own, went and fought on his behalf. But with a swift punch, he ended up killing the Egyptian by mistake. Later on, he realized that the Israelite was actually making the whole thing up. He was simply a man who would get into fights with people, and he was the one at fault, not the Egyptian, the innocent man who had died by accident. This is why Musa alayhi salam says, and they have upon me a claim due to sin, so I fear that they will kill me. Allah said, no, go both of you with our signs. Indeed, we are with you listening. Amazingly enough, Musa alayhi salam had committed a sin, but despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him a prophet. Why? Because Musa alayhi salam was extremely repentant. And we read that in the Quran, that Musa alayhi salam turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he chastised and was angry with the Israelite who had misled him. But that was the point when he had to run away from Egypt, because the Egyptians were now going to arrest him and kill him for the murder. This is why Musa alayhi salam wants Harun alayhi salam to assist him. Allah said, no, Go, both of you, with our signs. Indeed, we are with you listening, meaning the Egyptians will not harm you. Allah says, go to Pharaoh and say, we are the messengers of the Lord of the worlds, commanded to say, send with us the children of Israel. Pharaoh said, did we not raise you among us as a child? He talks to Musa alayhi salam when he arrives at the court. And you remained among us for years of your life. The Pharaoh is trying to put Musa alayhi salam in his place. And then he makes him feel even more guilty. And he says, and then you did your deed, which you did, meaning killing the Egyptian by mistake, and you were of the ungrateful. In effect, Pharaoh was letting the whole court know that Musa alayhi salam was someone who had been raised because of his mercy upon him. The Pharaoh had brought him up in the castle, and that on top of that, he was a killer, a criminal. Musa alayhi salam said, I did it then, while I was of those astray, meaning it was my mistake and I was ignorant. So I fled from you when I feared you. Then my Lord granted me judgment, meaning wisdom and prophethood, and appointed me as one of the messengers. Musa alayhi salam does not get fazed and continues with his message and says, and this is a favor of which you remind me, that you have enslaved the children of Israel? Is this what you're reminding me? That yes, I did grow up in your castle and you took care of me, but what kind of favor was that? He was basically one of the people of the slave community, and his people had been enslaved for centuries under the rules of the Pharaoh. Said Pharaoh, and what is the Lord of the worlds? Moses said, the Lord of the heavens and earth, and that between them, if you should be convinced. Pharaoh said to those around him, do you not hear? Moses said, your Lord and the Lord of your first forefathers. Pharaoh said, indeed your so-called messenger who has been sent to you is mad. Pharaoh continues to ignore Musa alayhi salam and simply looks at his courtiers and addresses them to diminish the importance of what Musa alayhi salam is saying. Musa alayhi salam ignores him, is patient and steadfast, and unswervingly continues the conversation. Moses said, Lord of the east and the west, and that between them, if you were to reason, in kuntum taqilun, if you have any aql. Pharaoh said, if you take a god other than me, I will surely place you among those imprisoned. So that last remark of Musa alayhi salam got him, because at the end Musa alayhi salam said, if you have any reasonable intelligence, you would understand that. So Pharaoh became angry. Musa alayhi salam said, even if I brought you something manifest, even then you will imprison me? Pharaoh said, then bring it, if you should be of the truthful. So Moses threw his staff, and suddenly it was a serpent manifest, and he drew out his hand, thereupon it was white for the observers. Pharaoh said to the eminent ones around him, indeed, this is a learned magician. He could see that everyone was overcome by the miracles that Musa alayhi salam came with. So he wanted to give an explanation for that. He said, he wants to drive you out of your land by his magic. So what do you advise? Now, the Pharaoh had never asked anyone else for advice before. Suddenly, the courtiers felt important, and they forgot the distraction. They saw this as a chance to elevate themselves in the eyes of the Fir'aun. They said, postpone the matter of him and his brothers and send among the city's gatherers who will bring you every learned, skilled magician. So the magicians were assembled for the appointment of a well-known day. And it was said to the people, will you congregate that we might follow the magicians if they are the predominant? So the Egyptians invited everyone around them to come and watch this show. And when the magicians arrived, they said to Pharaoh, is there indeed for us a reward if we are the predominant? He said, yes, and indeed you will be then of those near to me. The Pharaoh really wants them to do well, so he is baiting them. Moses said to them, throw whatever you will throw. So they threw their ropes and their staffs and said, by the might of Pharaoh, indeed it is we who are predominant. Then Moses threw his staff, and at once it devoured what they falsified. The serpent ended up eating all the sticks and the ropes that were swerving around. So the magicians fell down in prostration to Allah. They said, We have believed, Amanna bi Rabbil Alameen, we have believed in the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of Moses and Aaron. Pharaoh said, you believed in him before I gave you permission? Indeed, he is your leader who has taught you magic, but you are going to know. So he accuses the magicians and Musa alayhi salam of planning all of this. He said, I will surely cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides, and I will surely crucify you all. They said, no harm. La dair. Inna ila rabbina munqalibun. Indeed to our Lord we will return. What amazing iman. They were not even frightened. They had that much iman inside of them, that much conviction. They said, indeed we aspire that our Lord will forgive us our sins, because we were the first of the believers, the first of the believers in that city from the Egyptians. And we inspired to Moses, Allah said, travel by night with my servants, indeed you will be pursued. Then Pharaoh sent among the city's gatherers and said, indeed those are but a small band, and indeed they are enraging us, and surely we are a cautious society, meaning we are peace-loving people, we are careful to maintain our peace, we want to make sure there's no fitna, no corruption. Allah says, so we removed them from gardens and springs, and treasures, and honorable station thus. And note that they were just in the process of sending out someone to pursue them. That was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decided that they were going to perish. Allah says, Kadhalika, thus, and we caused to inherit it, the children of Israel, all their treasures and palaces and gardens and springs. Then Allah says, so they pursued them at sunrise. So again, at that moment, Allah had already decided that the Bani Israel were going to inherit everything the Egyptians were going to leave behind. After that, Allah says, he continues, so they pursued them at sunrise. The Egyptians followed the Bani Israel. And when the two companies saw one another, the companions of Moses said, indeed, we are to be overtaken. Moses said, no, indeed, with me is my Lord. He will guide me. Then we inspired to Moses, strike with your staff the sea. And it parted, and each portion was like a great towering mountain. This is real tawakkul. And this is truly a point of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides the end of a person before the end actually occurs. Allah says, and we advanced thereto the others, meaning the pursuers also followed them. And we saved Moses and those with him altogether. Then we drowned the others. Indeed, and that is a sign. But most of them were not to be believers. And indeed, your Lord, he is the exalted in might, the merciful. Allah is mighty. He can punish anyone whenever he wants to. But he is also forgiving and merciful. It is we who need to turn to his mercy and forgiveness. Allah says, and recite to them the news of Abraham, when he said to his father and his people, what do you worship? They said, we worship idols and remain to them devoted. He said, do they hear you when you make dua, when you supplicate? Or do they benefit you, or do they harm? They said, but we found our fathers doing thus. We're used to this way. He said, then do you see what you have been worshipping, you and your ancient forefathers? Indeed, they are enemies to me, except the Lord of the worlds, who created me, and he it is who guides me. And it is he who feeds me and gives me drink. And when I am ill, it is he who cures me, and who will cause me to die and then bring me to life, and who I aspire that he will forgive me my sin on the day of recompense. What was that one sin? Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Khati'ati. One sin. What was that sin? What was that mistake? That Ibrahim alayhi salam blamed the destruction of the smaller idols on the larger idol, whereas he had done it. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is humble, and he worries about his sin, and he hopes and aspires that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. And he said, my Lord, grant me authority and join me with the righteous. Rabbi habli hukman walhiqni bis-salihin, and grant me a mention of honor among later generations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted both those du'as. Allah says, He asked and placed me among the inheritors of the garden of pleasure, and forgive my father, indeed he has been of those astray, and do not disgrace me on the day they are all resurrected, the day when there will not benefit anyone, wealth or children, but only one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. Allah answered all of his du'as except for forgiveness for his father, because Azar had died a polytheist. But on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace Ibrahim alayhi salam by throwing his father into hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change him into a different animal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then throw that animal into the fire. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will honor Ibrahim alayhi salam. And at the end, Ibrahim alayhi salam says, The day when there will not benefit anyone wealth or children, but only one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ What is a salim heart? Salim, the root of that is seen, lam and meem, which is also the root of Islam and Muslim. Salima means to be safe. Salim means something is whole and complete. How does a heart become whole and complete? All of the heart belongs to Allah. There's not a single chamber in the heart that belongs to anyone other than Allah. The whole heart in its entirety turns to Allah and is filled with His love and the noor of Iman. Allah says, وَأُزْلِفَتِ الْجَنَّةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ And paradise will be brought near that day to the righteous, and hellfire will be brought forth for the deviators, and it will be said to them, Where are those you used to worship other than Allah? Can they help you or help themselves? So they will be overturned into it, meaning hellfire, they and the deviators and the soldiers of Iblis all together. They will say, while they dispute therein, they will argue with each other, angry with each other in hellfire. By Allah, we were indeed in manifest error when we equated you with the Lord of the worlds. Equated you with the Lord of the worlds? Remember, disobeying Allah means that someone, that person is worshipping shaitan. That human being has taken shaitan as their Lord. May Allah save us from that. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Following people other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the commands and teachings of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also obeying shaitan. That means a person is equating shaitan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that can never be so. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Allah is free from all imperfections, and there is no one worthy of worship except Him, the Creator, the Nurturer, Rabbul Alameen. Allah says, these criminals in hellfire will say, and no one misguided us except the criminals. So now we have no intercessors and not a devoted friend. So in this dunya, they were calling upon all of these intercessors, but they're not present there. In this dunya, there were devoted friends who would spend time with them for the sake of this world, for material life, for material gain, and they kept them from the remembrance of Allah. But on that day, they will leave them. Then if we only had a return to the world and could be of the believers, they have this hasra, they have this regret. Allah says, indeed, and that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers. Allah tells us in the Quran, even if they were sent back, they would act exactly the same way. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ And indeed your Lord, He is the Exalted in Might, the Merciful. The people of Noah denied the messengers. When their brother Noah said to them, Will you not fear Allah? Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger. So fear Allah and obey me. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ And I do not ask for it any payment. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds. So fear Allah and obey me, he says again. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ They said, should we believe you while you are followed by the lowest class of people? Again, it's disdain and contempt that stops people from acknowledging the truth. simply because the followers of Nuh alayhi salam were the poorest class of people. They did not want to accept the truth because they did not want to be associated with someone they felt were, some of the people they felt were beneath them. Let's look at ourselves. Do we feel comfortable speaking to and talking with and spending time with all different kinds of people? Do we feel comfortable simply with well-to-do rich people? Or do we simply feel comfortable with just not so rich people? And people who are well-to-do intimidate us, or we are hostile toward them, look down upon them. People from all categories feel comfortable with their own kind, yes. But one has to have the ability to make everyone feel good, to be comfortable with everyone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made everyone feel comfortable. The people who used to sit in the front of his gathering were the freed slaves, the poor people of Makkah and Medina. The chiefs of the tribe, chiefs of the Quraysh would come to him and say, "We'll come and listen to you if you remove these people." Allah said, "No. There is no way those people are leaving the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter who demands." Sometimes in gatherings, you see people from the same group or status level always sitting together. They don't sit with someone they don't know. Even that is arrogance. They will simply want to sit with people who they're friends with, close friends with. People don't know how to talk to strangers. People will not talk to someone from another race, even if they're Muslims, at the masajid in Taraweeh. Do we say salam to and shake hands with people from different cultures? Do we talk to them, speak to them? Every single one of us might have, I'm not saying everybody does, but people might have some level of arrogance that we have not recognized within ourselves. The amazing thing about the Quran, one of the amazing things about the Quran, is that it becomes a mirror into our souls and our psyche. Allah says, He said, Nuh alayhi salam replied to these chiefs and said, "And what is my knowledge of what they used to do? Their account is only upon my Lord, if you could perceive. And I am not one to drive away the believers. I am only a clear warner." They said, "If you do not desist, O Noah, you will surely be of those who are stoned." Now they become really angry with him. He said, "My Lord, indeed my people have denied me. Then judge between me and them with decisive judgment, and save me and those with me of the believers." So we saved him, Allah said, and those with him in a laden ship. Then we drowned thereafter the remaining ones. Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers. And indeed, your Lord, He is the exalted in might, the merciful, Allah says again.